The most eye-opening was how he had compromised Admiral Church and Admiral Forrestal at that level. People in business were compromised to extort him. Huge extortions. There was a whole team of them, guys doing it, going around the country extorting people.
So Skull Murphy and his people had a bunch of little boys there. I think it was three or four of them. And as he said, they were trolling Hoover and Tollefson. And Hoover bit and Tollefson. And once they had that, they had him. But he says the problem here is going to be the pedophiles are going to use it as a rallying cry, and they want to legalize sex with children. I infiltrated these meetings. I was there. And if you watch and see what they're trying to do in this, it's documented and verified.
With the world being so crazy, I have two great gift ideas to help you and your family stay safe. First, the Shockwave Torch. This tiny tool drops a 260-pound thug in 2 seconds. It packs so much power in such a small package, it's scary. Thank God it's got a safety on it. If you want to stay safe in a dangerous world, I promise the Shockwave Torch will help. Next, I want to show you the Light Defender Tactical Laser. It's a palm-sized device that drops attackers by shooting off electromagnetic radiation. It is legal in most of the U.S., but it has been banned inside 4 different states, and countries across the world have been banning it left and right. This might have something to do with the fact the military uses these devices in Afghanistan, Iraq, and other hostile zones to drop terrorists in their tracks. The U.S. Navy calls it the best emergency rescuing device, and it's so powerful it will even start fires with no matches or fuel required. Click the links below to learn more about the Shockwave Torch and the Light Defender Tactical Laser Tool. There'd be great gifts for your loved ones and family to keep them safe in this crazy world. Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have Detective Rothstein, more commonly known as Jimmy Boots, with me again today. For those who do not know who Detective Rothstein is, he's widely considered by those in the know as the most knowledgeable person in the country on human trafficking and how that is used to conduct human intelligence. If you did not see my first show with him, please take the time to watch. That show will give you a basic overview on how child trafficking and prostitution is and has been used as human compromise and intelligence in our country and worldwide. This episode we will be discussing his informant network, and specifically one of his most effective informants, Skull Murphy. The show has many bombshells that has never been heard outside the shadow government and the mob underground. Some of this will be unbelievable because all of us have been told a false narrative our entire lives. Other elements will even be unbelievable to truth finders, as false narratives have been released into the alternative media as well. Everything Detective Rothstein shares with us today is only based on facts and personal experiences. If he has not had direct experience, he does not theorize or guess on the truth. He just plainly says that he doesn't know. Please note that this episode is broken into 2 parts. I do run ads to support my show, I have to, which could really help you as well. But these are specifically aired before and after the interview to encourage the listeners to please share with as many people as you can and get my shows out there, get his word out there, get people the truth. I will have more segments coming up with Detective Rothstein soon, so look for those as they come out. If you are not receiving notices from YouTube or your podcast network, be sure to sign up for my newsletter at sarahwestall.com to stay informed. Now let's get into my show with Detective Jimmy Boots Rothstein. Hi, Detective Rothstein. Thank you so much for talking to me again.
Well, thank you for having me on.
It is such a pleasure to have you on. You give us such great information, and your background is unbelievable. And you said in the last show that you're not a hero. I think you're an American hero, basically.
I'm not.
And why do you think that?
Because I just did what I was supposed to do.
Okay, fair enough. I like that answer. In today's world, if you just are a good person, you do what you're supposed to, it turns into being a hero. Okay, let's talk about your informants. Yeah. And you had some really amazing people, one of them being Skull Murphy.
Yes.
Can you talk to me about who he was and why he was such an incredible person?
Well, as I've said earlier, he started off, his father had molested him. Then he was put into Brooklyn Franciscan Orphanage, where he was molested by two brothers. And that got him into being a victim as he grew up. And then when he got to the point where he was big enough and old enough, he figured he'd get in on the act, which happens to many of these victims. They are originally victims and then they become perpetrators. And he got into it and became the very best. He was the most violent, vicious pedophile I had ever met in my life. And then there came the point where he basically started trusting me and believing in me. And he would eventually say to the State Select Committee on Crime that I was honest and had integrity. And when he found a cop, and my partner was the same, that's when he realized he could come out and atone for all the things that he had done. And it was heart-wrenching to have to sit there and he would tell you about all the things that he did and how this whole subculture works. But it was probably the most enlightening thing that I had in my career. But the same thing was true, again, like, you know, there were other people. But with Skull, that was the part that got me in to understand what the real world was.
And can you share some of that, like what he explained to you and what was probably the most eye-opening?
The most eye-opening was how he had compromised Admiral Church and Admiral Forrestal at that level. And they both ended up committing suicide over it because Skull and them had set him up with little boys. And when they were shaking him down, they finally realized it and they killed themselves. That was the most that was the one that really alerted me, because at the same time, in actual lifetime, I had had a victim come to me and tell me that he had had sex with this admiral who was talking about the secret wars going on between the submarines. A bunch of them had sunk between the Russians and the Americans. And at the time, I had a person that was on one of those submarines, and I verified it. But it shows you how this works. So I had it going back many years right to the present. But Skull was the one that alerted me to how to, you know, what that information meant. And then Skull also had the different things where people in business were compromised to extort them. Huge extortions. There was a whole team of them, guys doing it, going around the country extorting people.
In the case of the admirals, what were they pushed against the wall for that would cause them to commit suicide?
Because they were caught. Skull set them up with little boys.
But why? What was the... You know, they pull the trigger at some point because they want to...
Yeah, they go to get money. They go extort them for money.
Was it an extortion for money or was it an extortion,
extortion for a war center?
Okay.
Skull's end of it was extortion for money, but he wasn't the only one. There were other operatives that were using this. This was also a part of our intelligence gathering community.
And again, there's another case that brings that to light, which... In the original case where I got that, Skull Murphy was the one that identified Quasimodo. He was one of my informants who helped identify Quasimodo.
And who was Quasimodo?
Quasimodo, what had happened was one of the big bosses in the police department called me in his office, and he turned up the music and he held up a piece of paper. We carried on a normal conversation. Dr. Rockefeller looks like Quasimodo. Supplies little boys to the United Nations, and I nodded, he nodded. He took the paper, crumbled it up, put it in an ashtray, and burnt it. And when we got done, our conversation kept going on. That man, Quasimodo, I identified with the help of guys like Skull Murphy as Ben Rose. And Ben Rose, when we arrested him, he was arraigned in a hotel room, so there was no record. And he is one of the key informants. This was where the murders happened in 1971, which Skull also knew about, you know, where they killed the little boys. So it was in Ben Rose's apartment, except he wasn't there. He was in the hospital. See, this is Skull Murphy, when it came to the pedophile world, was one of my biggest informants. There were a dozen more, some of them close to him in level of using this, because everybody got compromised.
Now, after a while, because he was an abuser as well.
Yes.
And those were the type of people you took down. Now, because he was an informant,
No, he quit. He quit being an abuser. He had a friend that was old enough, but a young guy. And so it was not a crime. But no, he quit. He ended up helping victims. That's how far he went. You got to remember the mentality of these poor people. Their whole lives. I just had the other day after you left, an hour later, I got a call from a man, about 49 years old, a victim. You know, and this happens constantly. But with Skull, too, when he said, honesty and integrity, I finally knew I could make up for all the things I had done. And the last picture, if you read the article on Skull, is he's leading the parade. And he would take the victims of, what was the place in New York, the mentally and physically handicapped kids. He would take them to the park. He'd carry them on the bus. I mean, the man, and John Rubenstein even was taken to meet his mother. And Skull, he has 200 hours of video and audio tapes where after Skull turned when he would tell the stories of what they did. I mean, I can go on and on of different stories. Undertakers that they compromised that were necrophiliacs, people they would take to the district attorney's office, set them down and they would play detective. They led the parade in Chicago one year as a lieutenant and captain of the police department. You know, they were that good at it. And Murphy looked like a cop. He was Irish, you know, and he was bad. He was one of the toughest men I ever met. But this is what it's really like. And it was heart-wrenching when he finally broke and started talking. When you hear, it's just like I say, victims of every type, priests that have come here that are victims, calls I've had over the years. When you hear this, and like I said the other night, right after you left, I got a call from a man. I had a 55-year-old man a number of years ago, and he was going to commit suicide, but because I knew what he was talking and what to do, he didn't. So these are the things that society has to understand. You got to understand these victims. That thing right there, My Journey Alone by Father Bill Garding, there is not a soul around here that understands what happened to him. It is so gut-wrenching to hear these victims. I have another one from St. John's, the Father Ekros victims. There's a whole bunch of them. Why can't we have somebody talk to those people? Why am I the only one they call? You want to hear. And it's in the thing I have where it shows her with her little daughter that was taken away. You know, this is real life. But why don't we do anything about it? There's not a soul in this state that would call and say, Jim, can we help you? Why?
So let's get back to Hoover, to Skull Murphy. I want people to understand how he was compromised.
Well,
because that's at the highest level as well. And people, the information on him, everybody thinks Hoover had all these files, which he did.
Yeah.
But
there was certain
he had a file on Hoover, and Hoover was controlled. Can you explain that?
Yes, it happened, and this is right from Skull's mouth. plus an associate of his. It was at a baseball game in Chicago, and it was at the baseball diamond that has the plants on the wall. They didn't name it. This is what they told me. So Skull Murphy and his people had a bunch of little boys there. I think it was three or four of them. And as he said, they were trolling Hoover and Tollefson. And Hoover bit and Tollefson. And once they had that, they had him. And the other part of this was, whenever Hoover came to New York, he would meet with Rosenstiel and the people. Now, these were the people that were tied in with some of the big operations in New York. This is the exact wordage that I was given on that. So that is why that information was given to me.
Now, were there presidents as well who were compromised in the same way?
I can't say presidents themselves, but people who were running for the presidency. I personally had one of those cases where an informant called me and we went to Uncle Charlie's, and there was a senator who was running for president with a couple of young boys, and me and my partner confronted him. In fact, my partner took a piece of shrimp off his plate and ate it. And the guy called Roy Cohen, who was the big lawyer, you know. And at one point in the conversation, the guy starts going, "Yes, sir, yes, sir." And he's looking at me and my partner, right? And he hangs up the phone. He says, "I want to apologize for being discourteous to you." He says, "Would you join me for dinner?"
He knew how much power and influence you had. Now,
But these are real things exactly the way they happened, you know.
When Skull Murphy compromised Hoover and the admirals, who was he working for?
Who, Hoover?
No, who was Skull Murphy working for?
Oh, he worked for basically Matty the Horse Iannello and some very heavy mafia guys, because they controlled the gay bars, and that and Skull worked the gay bars. He also worked for a hotel chain for a while as the head of security. So you can imagine what that was all about. That was a whole nother story.
So why did he go to that much effort for the mob underground?
Why not? You got to make a living. And this is where his people were. He was also the guy that set up the Stonewall riots and how and what happened there. There were only three cops in this world that ever knew the truth about Stonewall. And Skull Murphy is the one that set it up. Are you familiar with the Stonewall?
No, we'll explain that.
The Stonewall was a gay nightclub, after-hours joint. And the cops were raiding and shaking them down. They were making these gay people do it. And Skull Murphy ran the place. So Skull came to me and he said, "Jim, these people are shaking us down." It was a lieutenant from the first deputy commissioner's office. And he says, "Can we stop that?" I said, "Sure." So I got two of my bosses, and we were in the 3rd Division at the time, and the other place was in the 1st Division. So we got the cops all set up. They were put in a room with no phones or no nothing, so nobody could rat anybody out. We knew what the story was, because the place was what you call was on the pad. They were making regular payoffs to operate. And when Skull gave the word that the payoff had gone down, right, which meant he had made the payoff, we raided the place. Now, that's a double cross, you know, and we knew what, three of us knew what we were doing. You know, the other guys had no clue what had just happened. And when we got done, the gays rioted. Now, I can't say that Skull maybe didn't set this up, but there was one other man there that was one of my informants. Brother Tom Falco, he's in prison right now, where he's been off and on for years. And the rallying cry was, "Go get 'em, girls." And you want to see, I think the riot was 2-3 nights. It was just hilarious watching this.
Why was it hilarious?
Oh, guys in drag. It was, you know, everything. It was, It was the underground that I knew. These people knew me, by the way. And after this was done, we had a meeting. Now, society as a rule doesn't know the difference between gay and pedophile. There is a gay community, doesn't mean everybody assumes the gays are pedophile. That's crap. But there was a meeting with the head of the gay community that I did in an apartment down in the West Village. And I never forget it. And they said, Jim, we thank you for what you did. You know, finally, that we, you know, don't have to be extorted. But he says, the problem here is going to be the pedophiles are going to use it as a rallying cry, and they want to legalize sex with children. I infiltrated these meetings. I was there. That's, and if you watch and see what they're trying to do in this, it's documented and verified.
It's for real that they're trying to legalize
yes,
it.
Yes, but I was there. Again, Skull Murphy had more to do to stop this stuff than any man in this world. He's the one that had the guts to ask me to do something.
Let me ask you, what was their reasoning? How were they planning on getting pedophilia legalized?
Well, the way they are now.
How?
You work society, you work the politicians. It's a right. You have a right. Baloney, you got a right to rape children. But if you look in our politically correct, feel good, do good society, you can't talk about the bad part. That's not politically correct. And that's what's ruining our society now.
And in which way could they possibly convince others that pedophilia is okay? Are they saying that this is just another sex thing?
Yeah. Oh, you should have been at some of these things when I listened to the stories. It was nothing more but a bunch of degenerates.
And would they say that instead of making criminal, almost like a disease with alcoholics,
That's right.
If they do something wrong, then they can't be... go to jail for it, or they can't be.
Yes, it's the same thing.
Yes. That makes a sense. Now let's talk about the underworld, and because the underground, there's not just everybody thinks the money changers are the only ones that do the compromise, but it's not. It's the mob. It's all over.
Oh yes, because the mob at that time, for instance, the juice joints was controlled by the mob.
Explain the juice joints.
Juice joints were places where they served juice and soda and stuff. And it was where 12, 13, 14, 15-year-old kids hung out and played music and that. But it was nothing more than a place for pedophiles to come and pick up kids. And this was controlled by Anthony Ribido and those people who I knew, you know. And we'd go to these places. There'd be hundreds of kids there. And no... nothing was done, you know, and this type of thing.
And this was mob-related, not the...
No, this was outright mob. It's just like a lot of the bars that were used where people would go, the gay pedophiles and stuff, and they'd be set up. I had many cases where they'd pick up a kid, and the next thing they knew, they were compromised. People were killed. You know, the atrocities that I saw committed. As a part of this Skull Murphy thing, just here at our German dinner 2 years ago, a lady came up and she says, aren't you the detective in New York? She says, I was a nurse at St. Vincent's Hospital. I says, oh, yeah. I says, that's me. She says, you know, we used to get these weird things. I says, yeah, I'm the detective they used to call. She says, yeah, I know, but I didn't realize it was you. Because when all these things would come in, the atrocities that you, I can't go public, you know, on the air, but in private I can tell you what the atrocities were that were committed. The hitching post where they would tie guys up and then, you know, and then, oh, it just goes on and on. But those bars were all controlled by different mob figures, and I knew all of them.
Well, let's explain the difference between the compromising that they did, the mob did, versus like the power elite.
Well, it's the same. There's no difference.
Why is there no difference? Did they use the mob in certain circumstances?
Oh, yeah.
So the mob is mob does it, but it's used by various players.
Yeah, but the other people did the same thing.
But did they have their own people? Did they use the mob to do it?
Yeah. No, they used their own people too. Oh gosh, we'd see that all the time.
So they used it too, or they had, was it exclusive, or they used whoever they want?
Whoever.
I mean, they didn't care. They used the mob sometimes, they used their own people, whatever.
Whatever was convenient. Because if you were an agent and you had an informant in the mob, he would set somebody up, right? And you could get the information.
Is this why the mob has been allowed to continue? Because the mob, there would be no reason to allow the mob to continue unless they were using them for their own purposes.
Yeah, well, it's the way it was, yeah. Yeah, you got to have some, you got to have somebody, you know, and they were there. They had the political influence. It was just the way it was. It's been that way in society forever.
Now, there's we talked before this about there being kind of three areas of society. There's the underground, how things really work, and the people controlling the underground, and then the rest of us that are out in our own little la-la land.
Yeah, and then the shadow government and the world money
changers. But aren't the world money changers the one that control?
They're the overall worldwide. But then, you know, normal modern society, I call them sheepalos, because they just follow along with whatever is convenient and feel good, do good. And the underground makes a living off of that.
They take advantage of them.
Yeah, well, you can look at that in our schools everywhere. Oh, we don't want to talk about that. Kids get every year. Like I said, right here in town, I stopped it because I knew what was going on. The high school over here at Albany, the superintendent, when I gave him the victim, he tried his best, and yet she ended up being hooking in South Dakota because nobody did nothing. A girl from Meyer Grove ended up in Las Vegas because nobody did nothing. Why? Why are we letting this happen?
Well, how uninformed are the universities?
Oh, well, they're politically correct. Feel good, do good. They couldn't say nothing if they wanted to because it's not politically correct. You go there and tell the truth. How long are you going to be teaching at a college?
Not long.
No.
I've lectured all over this place.
But what do you think about the professors that teach ethics and never dive into this stuff?
Well, that's why, because they can't. Why have we put this political correctness on them? You know, there's an agenda behind that, why it's going on.
Who's behind that agenda?
That is a whole nother group of people who feel we should have an open society. And it goes back to the Saul Alinsky era and all that stuff. And we work that stuff.
Now, the people that believe we should have an open society, are they naive or are they doing it purposely to be able to take advantage of people?
Both. Some people are just naive. But yet, when they become victims, like I said, why does a mother say, I was told to put it behind me when her son commits suicide because he was molested by a priest? And he just happened to have been that his father was a kid I grew up with. And the last thing on his deathbed, he called and said, Jim, promise me you won't let my son have died in vain. You know what that does to a person when you get a call like that? There's a lot of them. But how come society hasn't said a word about it? You go and call this. The thing I get is you make all this stuff up. Right?
I've heard that too, yeah.
But guess what? They should go look at the tombstone. Right? How come you don't go look at the tombstone if it's all made up?
Now, we have whistleblowers and informants and all these people now that are coming out. But yet, it's still being covered up by mainstream media. Mainstream media is very controlled.
Do you know how it's controlled? I'll give you an example. There was a trial in Norfolk, Virginia with Willie Dunn. It had to do with the Bronfman kidnapping. Edgar Bronfman owned Seagram's Industry. Well, when that was done, there was a reporter by the name of Pinchak that was going to write the story and put out what really happened in the kidnapping. And I bet a steak dinner, as did my partner, that his story wouldn't come out. It ran, in those days, the New York papers had an evening edition where they'd run a blurb on a big story. What happened was Seagram's Industry called all the media and said, if anybody runs that story, we pull our advertising. The same thing happened right here in Minnesota with a couple TV reporters and the owner. That's how they controlled the media. How can you operate a media when you have no money? Where does the money come from? Advertising. This is, again, firsthand. I got my steak dinner, by the way. I can prove it because I ate it. The story didn't get run. But this is what I'm talking about. You go, I know a reporter for the local paper that wrote a story, and I read it, and he says, see what's in the paper. Wasn't the same thing.
Well, and we're learning that places like CNN only has advertisers now that are pharmaceuticals and big military contractors. And a lot of people have, you know, pulled out and advertising elsewhere. Now, are the military contractors and the pharmaceuticals doing it for a reason?
I don't know. I haven't been in, you know, working that end of it. I don't know. But I'll guarantee you
there's something there, obviously.
Yeah, because I saw in the past, and I mentioned this to you once before, all the reporters and such who's after writing stories, their careers were over.
And you have a list of that. Can you give us a few examples of reporters that you know that have, well, how it's such a blackout? It's a black, it's completely black. People aren't allowed to talk.
Well, I'll give you one, probably the most horrendous one is Kelly O'Mara, when she wrote the story about the St. John's and stuff here. When she got done, she was writing for Insight magazine. Was the end of her career. She wrote a three-part story for it. She talked to the victims here and stuff. And it was just, she's done. She's working in Vegas now. She's doing something, fixing apartments or cleaning them or something like that. You can go on, Paul Rodriguez, the Koonin boys. It's just a never-ending list of guys who wrote stories. I can show you in my notes where I have copies of stories, one written by Selwyn Rabb for the New York Times about this Minnesota trafficking business, another one about Minneapolis and with McGaughey and them. See, it just goes on. And the local TV guy here that was stopped, cost him his career. He had to go get it out of business. He was well known. That his name I won't give you.
And people will point to, well, yeah, but they do cover pedophile rings that have been taken down.
Where?
Well, you'll see some, but
Wait. Is there anyone that have ever told the truth?
Now, would you say they were made up?
No, they probably stopped it, but didn't they tell the whole truth? See, they don't.
Well, my question is, and it gets to something we were talking about before, they give us popcorn. They give us things that don't have meaning.
Feel good, do good.
Yeah, if it's not really relevant to their operations, then they do it to make it look like they're doing something.
Yes, that's exactly what's happening. They got to be politically correct. Even to tell you can't, the truth, there is no truth in political correctness.
Well, and see, and I want to clarify political correctness because people are fighting over what political correctness is. And political correctness isn't about disrespecting. You know, that's an important thing. We don't want to disrespect people. But when you're talking about political correctness, you're talking about something that is interfering with what is right.
Yes, because, you know, there's a lady here who happens to be black, a very expert on this. And I met with her. And I said to her, is this black and white? She said, Jim, absolutely, and you know it, but you can't talk about it. And if you don't talk about black and white, how can you tell the truth? That's what really bothers me. I have dealt with these victims. Mothers have come to me, black mothers, asking me, Jim, what can we do to help our kids? Why can't the society tell them the truth? You think maybe there's a reason for it? Oh, yeah.
And they're hiding behind political correctness.
Yep, because why do we have to put these kids in prison for 60, 70 years? What have, you know, They were used. They've been trained to do this. I watched it. I was there. I've talked to them. I've arrested them. I've convicted them.
Who trains them?
Just, you know, the underground. You know, it's, if that's all, you get brought up with that and nobody tells you different, what a way to make money.
And they target them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they set it up.
Look at the drugs. You watch. I stopped the man under the East River Drive and asked him, why are you killing your own people? And he says, I'm the Black Kennedy. He did booze, I do drugs. I talked to him under the East River Drive in New York because I watched it.
And how does the money changers and the people who control us, how do they benefit by having this perpetual cesspool?
Yeah, because there's always the side benefits to be made from it. The human compromise end of it, extorting people. If you have somebody or a business, you can get them to do whatever you want to do. Make them pay. You know, again, I was there. I saw it. A very big pharmaceutical company was compromised. They paid fortunes. You know, it's just the way it is.
Now, did they compromise people specifically to extort money? Or
to extort the company.
Or,
yes.
Or to force certain transactions and
that
all that stuff.
Part of it I never did find out, but it was to extort the company in whatever fashion they had to. Yep.
And were you involved at all in the human compromise of politicians?
Oh, that was a big part of my work. For instance, the Watergate break-in. How come nobody tells the truth about that? Although I did see lately some mention about the pedophile book. We knew it was there.
Get this vital 30-page ebook from Drs. Ryan Wolfert and Isaac Jones, How to Avoid and Heal the Toxic Brain and Learn Proven Natural Solutions to Overcoming Brain Diseases and Disorders. The first step toward healing and preventing brain disorders is to understand where you're encountering toxins. Identifying and eliminating them is essential to healing and reversing brain diseases. This 30-page ebook will walk you through your kitchen and all the various ways it can hurt you and how to protect yourself. Plus, it will provide you with a list of 8 superfoods to help you become superhuman. And be sure to join us on December 3rd for the start of the free online Superhuman Brain Masterclass. Over 30 experts gather to provide you with proven solutions to heal and upgrade your brain to high performance for life. Click the link below to get immediate access to the 30-page ebook, How to Avoid and Heal the Toxic Brain. And get started on better health today.